Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. And you know what? It's Wednesday, December 26th. We've only got a little bit of time left in the month of December. You can still use the code SWGIFTS to get 30% off all Star Wars items. They've got some great stuff over there. Ties, cufflinks, pocket squares, tote bags. The socks are awesome. I love these green Yoda socks. They're really cool. They're also over at cufflinks.com/DVR, so they know that you heard about them from us. Go over to their sale page. Use the code New Year's Sale from December 26th, that's today, until January 6th, and you'll get 30% off all sale accessories. And they've got some really cool stuff over there. I'm looking right now. Stainless steel Tavola fork tie clip, forks and spoons for like chefs. They've got Darth Vader lightsaber cufflinks. Those are awesome. 3D tie striker cufflinks. All this stuff is super awesome. It's high quality and it's both fun and professional. You can do both with cufflinks.com. You know, we talk a lot about the geek stuff, but when you head over there and you look at just some nice stuff like a blue and red rose men's tie, it's gorgeous. It looks beautiful. The blues and the reds are so vibrant. It's handcrafted quality products. So look, do yourself a favor. Go over to cufflinks.com/DVR. Help support the podcast. You can also use code DVR20 at any time to get 20% off your order. No minimum. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Now on to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 26, 2018, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everybody. How y'all doing? It's the day after Christmas. It is a chill time here in the United of States. A chill, chill time. There is not a lot going on. Not a ton of news or really things happening. As we all know, this week between Christmas and New Year's is really just kind of the most relaxed part of the year, but also stressful in some way because you're in like new situations. A lot of times you're like in the house. Now my whole family is home and we're like, all right, we got to get out of the house. We got to do something, you know, even though you spend the whole day out of the house on Christmas like we do. And it's a lot of fun. We had a great Christmas though. Over on the Patreon, I just released a little Christmas podcast, walking around the house, talking to everybody. We had a fun time with the kids. God, I'll tell you what, I had to put my earplugs in at one point because they were just yelling so much and just so excited. And I just can't take that. So I was just like, you know, I'm putting earplugs in and just hanging out. And it worked. And I know I was hanging out, having fun. And I kind of equalized with it all after a while because it was a kid frenzy. And my son got something called a Beyblade, which I've heard of for a long time. They're like spinners, you know. You launch it, and you pull the plastic string, you know, and it launches, and they're supposed to knock into each other. And there's some cartoon adjacent to it, and all that. And he just keeps on saying, "Let it rip," and pulling this string and this thing. Then you hear a drop on the ground, and then you just hear the spinning. It's actually, I asked him, I said, "What is Beyblade?" He was like, "It's like battling dreidels." So it's battling dreidels. That's what a Beyblade is. I thought that was pretty funny. Alrighty. Christmas, yes, is behind. I had a great Christmas. I hope you all enjoyed the show I did with DJ Tim Hines on our Christmas specials. I got a chance to watch both Elf, and we also watched a little bit of Twas the Night Before Christmas. Rudolph, of course, we watched. That's a definite. And what was the other thing we watched? We watched Elf actually a couple times. Gosh, I can't remember. The TV's on. You're walking out of the room. Whatever. That's life, right? Watch a little basketball. I always want to get back into basketball. But if anyone has any hints how to get back into basketball, email me. I love football, so of course I watch football on the weekend. There are a lot of great games. I know you got a lot of NFL fans. I wanted to talk about NFL announcers and Monday Night Football, how bad it is. But, you know, I can't get back into the NBA. I don't know why. I used to watch it when I was a kid, but I keep on trying anyway. So watch a little of those games. And, yeah, the Christmas movies were fun. I enjoyed having the opportunity to watch all of Elf like a time and a half with Lachlan. I think, what did we watch? A little bit of Love Actually too. I think we hit that whole list there, but there's one movie I can't remember that kept on kind of playing, but we kind of went in and out of it. Oh, A Christmas Story, of course. We watched it like two or three times. And he loved A Christmas Story. And this is really the first year where he's paying attention to stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun to share with him. And I like that idea that Tim and I hit upon, kind of this downtime, this cold time, this time of, but it being a time of creativity. Because I really do think that way. I think that it can bring out the creative juices in people. And for some reason, the whole idea of holidays and Christmas and this winter time has historically throughout humanity brought out a lot of ideas. And there's a lot of fables and myths and legends and stories. And it's fun to share those. Well, I do have a little bit of news. So I think the biggest kind of entertainment news over the past couple days is that Jordan Peele dropped his trailer for Us, which is the follow-up to Get Out. And this is coming out, I believe, in March. I think it's about 3 months it's coming out. And it's March 15th, 2019. So basically, the story is set in the present day and follows Adelaide and Gabe Wilson, Black Panther pair Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, as they take their kids to Adelaide's old childhood beachside home in Northern California for the summer. After a day at the beach with the Tyler family, led by Elizabeth Moss and Tim Heidecker, Adelaide, who is haunted by a lingering trauma from her past, becomes increasingly more paranoid that something bad will happen to her family. Okay, so what eventually happens, and you see in the trailer, and I don't want to spoil you, Brett, but all right, Brett, don't listen if you don't want to hear this part. I'll get to something else soon. They're doppelgangers. So they're like, you just basically see the rest of the trailer is not even really worth watching. I guess for a little hype, the beginning does it all. You watch the first like 20 seconds and then you get into it. And I usually don't go so into trailers talk a little, but I found this to be intriguing. And I mean, Get Out was amazing. And the way the trailers worked for Get Out and the way that the buildup worked, I really appreciated the way Jordan Peele, excuse me as I adjust myself in my seat here, I really appreciated the way that Jordan Peele used a kind of J.J. Abrams, you know, just a great director's kind of craft their own marketing materials. And the presentation of the film is just as important, which I believe in these days. And I think TV should do that more. I really do. And I like when TV does it. I think it's super cool when HBO releases like 20 trailers that have zero footage for Game of Thrones, just hype stuff. It's fun. Why not? You know what I mean? It's an experience, right? Like, this film is an experience. Get Out, for many people, was not just a film. Oh, okay, here, let me watch this. Put it in, 2 hours later, it's over. It was an experience for them. They talked about it. They kind of lived in that world, and it taught people something, and it was part of what made that film more than just 2 hours, a two-hour story, right? It continued on because it resonated with people. And what does resonate means, right? It's like you hit a gong, the waves move out, it resonates, it keeps on going. This is what happens inside of you. Like, it rings that gong and then you start becoming creative and thinking about it and feeling about it. And that's why I like Jordan Peele and all of the work that they did together, Key and Peele, on their comedy show had that type of almost world-building universe. And I almost want to think that this and Get Out are in the same universe. And I have a feeling we're getting towards that, okay? I haven't heard people say this, but I'm bringing it up right now, and I think this is going to become a thing on the internet, that they're somehow in the same universe, right? I can't wait till his Twilight Zone comes out, because this trailer... Okay, so to get back to the trailer, they're confronted with like their doppelgangers. And the reason I say you don't need to watch the rest of it is because it's just them battling them. Okay? You're not learning anything, right? So you're already hyped for it. You don't need to be spoiled by noticing certain details and who's present and who's not and blah, blah, blah. But it appears to me that, you know, they are just trying to either kill them or take over their lives or something of that nature. And who knows, by the end of the film, they may go back and forth until at the end you don't know who is real and who is not, which is what I think this film is about. There's a guy, Eric Davis, who works for, I don't remember, Cinema Line or one of those things with a line or a point or something, website in it. And he, you know, premiered the trailer and his tweet, you know, there's something to be said. I'll digress. It's a day after Christmas. I don't care. There's something to be said. I'm just noticing the more I am paying attention to entertainment, quote unquote, journalism and critics and such. I never really paid that much attention. I mean, I've been a podcaster and I comment and I talk, but my thing has always kind of been things are mostly subjective, and I'll say something's objectively bad, but then I'll always say somebody probably likes it. I don't know. I don't consider myself to be a critic. I think just more commentating, right? But this thing, when they get an interview with someone and then you try to frame it in the story or on Twitter or whatever, that you're their buddy, like this is so rampant, you know, and just, you know, like people writing about Star Wars and be like, Kathleen's awesome, you know, like in their article. And it's like, you don't know. You know, like go back to New York Times style and say Ms. or Mrs. Kennedy or whatever, you know, like, I just feel like it's like, you don't know these people. Don't like you did a 20 minute interview with, you watched, even if you spent 3 hours watching a movie with Jordan Peele and then you left, you're not his buddy. I would hope that I present a more, not I, but anybody writing about stuff, they're not really a journalist then, you know, you've become a PR person. They've hired you to become a PR person and you've basically agreed to do that. I don't get angry about it. And actually, I don't think it's a matter of money anymore. I think it's a matter of access and fame and people like, you know, there are even certain podcasters and people who are also writers or, you know, and they kind of, you know, bridge that line of fan and journalist, and they use that to the benefit, you know, and I mean, it's a little, there's nothing wrong with it. I just say, be honest about it. That's what I say. Just kind of like, be careful how you frame things because it comes off awkward. Well, anyway, his tweets were a little awkward. They were like, he told me in confidence, blah, blah, or something like that. I don't know. It just was weird to me. Maybe I'm overblowing it. But anyway, long story short, and maybe it's the wrong guy too, so I apologize. Here I am telling the journalist to be good, and I don't know my source, but that's not, I don't claim to be that, so I'm just chatting. Anyway, long story short, Jordan Peele's quote is, this movie's not about race, it's about something that I've recently, you know, come to see, that we are our own worst enemies. I think this has to be referencing the Trump era in America, and how people, you know, consistently either vote or believe or act against their own best interest, right? And how this is universal. I mean, this is millennia. This is from second person, you know, was saying like, let me go climb that tree as well. And I'm really tired and I can't get down or something, you know, let me go swimming out there and not be able to come back. You know, that's just what people do. We're fast, cheap, and out of control, right? And I think that's very interesting, though. But I think that this, the trailer was really cool. And I am very pumped to see this movie. I don't know if it's the same cinematographer as Get Out, but he has, there is a style here and a directorial style. And I noticed it right out the jump, the way the scenes in the car are shot, the way scenes at the beach are shot, the way some of the, just the angles and the framing of it, even the color and texture, where it's kind of it looks as though the brightness was turned up and then it almost like the hue was turned down. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly. So it looks as though it's saturated, but then it was almost polished on top of it, you know, like a kind of top coat was put over it. So it's not as bright as it should be, which creates a sense of, it's unnerving. It's unnerving because it looks as though you should adjust your TV. I felt like Get Out looked like that. The way he plays with color in the films is really, really interesting. So that film is coming out on March 15th. And like I said, I'm down for it. If you haven't, I usually don't say check out a trailer, but do what I do. Do my method for trailers. Only watch look at how long it is, because it's all on YouTube. Everybody can see how long it is. And if the trailer is like 2 minutes and 30 seconds long, only watch the first 30 seconds. Because then I think you're just getting a feel for it enough, like a little tease before they start spoiling you. But this is actually, I mean, this trailer is pretty long. Let's see, how long was it? It's 2.5 minutes. So I think I may have watched a minute of this one. All right, let's see if we have any more news to talk about. Not much, really. There was that Kevin Spacey Xmas message, which I'm not even going to bother talking about because what the hell was that? Oh, Welcome to Marwen. I want to mention this. Welcome to Marwen to lose over $50 million for Universal. This Robert Zemeckis, I mean, what is with Robert Zemeckis? I mean, really, what's wrong with Robert Zemeckis? Can I hang out with him? Can we just chill for a minute? And can we just be like, dude, are they just going to call you Robert Uncanny Valley Zemeckis? He keeps on making these movies where he wants to somehow blend animation and real, and it's like this vision, but it just looks completely weird. And the trailers for this and the reviews for this movie are not only that it's a bad movie and that it kind of sugarcoats the original story, which I'm going to get to, but that it's these strange scenes with like doll looking people. So this is originally based on a documentary called Marwen Call, which is about a man who was a very interesting and eccentric dude. He was a cross dresser. He was a kind of intellectual. He was a creator, and he lived in this small town. I think it was, it was in the US and I believe it was in the South of the Midwest somewhere. And he gets beaten up by a bunch of like neo-Nazi type homophobic. I don't know what they, in the documentary, you have to watch, you learn a little bit more. And he is severely injured. And in order to deal with this trauma and PTSD, he focuses his creativity into making dolls and making houses and clothes and cars, and then taking pictures of them and using, forced, I'm losing my train here, people. I apologize. Force perspective, using force perspective to make them look more real. And if you're familiar with force perspective, it's when you take something small and juxtaposition it against something big, but because of the focal length of the camera and the actual distance between the objects, it appears as if they are the same size. So it brings something big or smaller, and it kind of evens them both out so it looks real to our eyes. And Marwin Call is a fantastic documentary. Unfortunately, it is not streaming anywhere now. Head scratcher. And you can, though, get it at your local library, or I don't know, maybe it's going to be playing on TV, or maybe it's going to be coming to something, because I checked the other day and it wasn't streaming anywhere, and it should be. And Marwin Call is an absolutely fantastic documentary, not only if you enjoy an interesting human interest story, but if you also enjoy photography, building, you know, stuff like that, miniatures, you know, weird stuff like that. Well, okay, it's streaming on Hoopla and Canopy. Not that many people have Canopy, but it should be streaming on Netflix right now. You'd think they'd put this up on there, and it makes me think that it's not, because they want people to go see this movie, which is like terrible. And, you know, no offense, Steve Carroll has tried to do, he has oftentimes, sometimes his feel-good movies are a little cheesy, and that's, this movie is supposed to be like really bad and really weird. And anyway, the guy's name was Mark Hogenkamp. Zemeckis, the last thing he did is what? The Walk and Allied. Oh, Allied was terrible. Yeah. I don't know. Zemeckis has got to go away for a little while. Go away, Robbie. Go away. Go away and come back. Figure something out. Go make something little or, you know, something like that. But go see Marwin Call, people. That's the lesson here. That's the only reason I'm talking about it, is just so I could talk about the documentary. Go see Marwin Call. It is a great doc. Go to the library and get it. It might be playing on TV. Sometimes PBS or something will play it. And or just keep your eye out for it, because I'm sure that sooner rather than later, because of this film, people will want to see the doc to see if there really is a good film, a good story buried underneath there, buried underneath CGI and weird stuff like that. So I think that's all the news I have. Like I said, not a lot going on. Couple of shows canceled and this and that, but I'm not going to talk too much about that. Let me get to the mid ad break, and then I'm going to do a little fun thing that I have, a little surprise for you about podcasts. Here we go. All right, cufflinks.com, mid ad break, SW Gifts, Star Wars gifts, 30% off Star Wars, and go over to that sale page, go to cufflinks.com/DVR, scroll over there, roll on over to the right. Go to the sale page, New Year's sale, valid December 26th to January 6th, 30% off the sale accessories. There's so much cool stuff. I just like scrolling and looking at the 3D peanut butter and jelly cufflinks. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, man. Cufflinks.com has got it all. They're so inventive in the way that they go out and find these awesome products. And when you're talking about the Marvel and the DC stuff, one thing I wanted to mention is they have really cool stuff that has both an old school vibe and a newer Marvel film vibe to it. And that's kind of cool. You know, they have cool bracelets. I mean, I'm looking through this list. It's very cool stuff. So go over to cufflinks.com/DVR. Go ahead and use that code New Year's Sale. You'll get 30% off the sale accessories. And you can also use SW Gifts, Star Wars Gifts, and get 30% off all Star Wars. You know, do something different for yourself. New Year's is coming. Dedicate yourself towards enhancing your look, You look good, you feel good. You know, I haven't always been a guy that dressed up, okay? People know this about me. I just wear like clothes. But cufflinks.com, they inspired me, and I told you I wore cufflinks. And I've been doing it. I did it yesterday. I wore some cufflinks. You know, this is what you got to do in life. You got to wear cufflinks, little pocket square. The hand. I love the hand of the kingpin, too. That is fun, okay? I think everybody, that's like, that should be every, you should have to go to cufflinks.com and buy a hand of the king or hand of the queen pin, because that's so fun if you're a Game of Thrones fan. So go over to cufflinks.com/DVR, get it done, and you can also use code DVR20. That's right. You can also use code DVR20. And with that code, you will get 20% off, no minimum on your order. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Thanks so much for being the sponsor, Cufflinks. This is fantastic. We're having a lot of fun, and I know a lot of people are enjoying their stuff. All right, let's get back to the show. I have been neglectful in mailing out the prize-winning people. I think Brett... Who do I owe? Brett, Max, and Dennis. And I'm going to send stuff out to all of you. I went to the post office and I went like twice and it was so crowded and I bailed, I have to admit. So I said, I'm just going to wait. I'm sure you got a lot of gifts for the Christmas. Now you'll get something for closer to New Year's. I'm going to go over the next couple days. It slowed down. And surprisingly, I don't know why this is, but in my area, there are not a lot of... post offices, you know, not a lot of post offices. So I'm going to head over there and mail that out to you and thank you. And I'm going to be doing another giveaway. I hope Justin and I are going to do a show on Friday. I think we are. And if we are, we'll do a giveaway. Why not? And I still want to just go ahead and do a live show with no editing or whatever, just for fun. But I want to experiment more. That's kind of my New Year's resolution, is experiment more with YouTube with this show. I really think I might just do the show every day on YouTube. I don't know. Why not? Just turn on the camera. Who cares? Some people watch, some people don't. What do I care? I don't know. I did live TV before and I just, you know, it's so exciting. It's fun. It gets you going. So anyway, all right. Long story short, there's not a ton going on. And I thought to myself, you know what I want to do is I want to give a shout out to 10 great podcasts of 2018. That's what I'm going to do. These are my 10 great podcasts and podcast networks of 2018. Just my favorites. I'm not going to say they're the best. I'm not going to say that they win it all. But for me, if you like listening to this show and you like it when a person kind of talks to you and you have fun and you listen to a podcast, these are going to be 10 podcasts you can listen to. And some of them have been guests. Some of them will be guests. And some of the people you may know. So I'm going to do that. And this is really not in any particular order. But I just like every once in a while to run down my podcasts and talk about them. Okay? So I'm going to start out with a podcast that I just had him on the show. And that's Dork Lair. That's Dork Lair. Okay. Now, Dork Lair is a great podcast. We had Bill Jarnowski on the show, just last week. And Dork Lair is a collecting podcast about Star Wars, Marvel Legends, and DC action figures and more. And one of the things I like about Dork Lair is they release every Sunday. So I get a Sunday podcast. It's normally 2 to 3 dudes. Sometimes just 2, sometimes it's just 1, sometimes it's just Bill. And they talk about not only collecting and figures, if you're not into that, but they talk about news. The first 15-20 minutes of the show, sometimes longer, is them talking about, you know, their own lives, what they've been up to, and also news. And that news is very similar to a lot of the stuff I talk about. Star Wars, comic book stuff, film news. One time Bill told a story about meeting Rian Johnson. You know, they just kind of talk about geek stuff. And they're very relaxed. They have a good sound quality. And the characters are on the show are really interesting. They're from different parts of the country. And I really enjoy the show. So I want to give a shout out to Dork Lair. And also, Phil has the best opening of any podcast ever in the history of podcasting. And he says, according to legend, and then he kind of goes into and describes what figure they're talking about, but he puts time into it. And it's a really great show. It's on the RetroZap podcast network. And RetroZap has a lot of cool podcasts too, so you should check them out as well. So I'm going to give a shout out to Dark Lair, baby. And on that same tip, I want to give a shout out to another friend of the pod, another person who is on the pod, Julian. And that is the Tower of Babel podcast, baby. That's right. Julian, actually, the most recent podcast was just a short 15-minute review of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And I'll tell you what, Tower of Babel is a lot about this show. It's just Julian Mouche, Daniel D'Souza, and Jeremy Cozier, and they're three friends, and they basically sit around and they talk about TV, they talk about comics, they talk about their lives. They've been friends for a long time. They remind me a lot of like me, Lou, Donald, Matt, DJ Timothy Hinesworth, all the cats, you know, just talking to each other. It's kind of like what we did on Podtourage. And it's a good mix too, because Julian is a great host and he keeps the show going and keeps it on track. Jeremy is kind of like the intellectual of the podcast, you know. He likes to get the facts correct. He knows a lot of the history, maybe the historian, you know. And Daniel is kind of a Renaissance man too, and is a little bit of a wisecracker. likes to, you know, has a little bit more of an edge to him. They're a good group, and it's a fun podcast. Tower of Babel, they do once a week usually. Sometimes they skip, and sometimes they're having some drinks when they do the podcast, and I like that they try to do it when they're all in the same room. We don't have the opportunity to do that, but when we do, we do. And it's a lot of fun. So shout out to Tower of Babel. Okay. I'll give them my number 9, but it's not in any particular order. Okay. All right. I want to give a shout out to a podcast that I continue to listen to, have listened to a long time. I talk about it a lot. It's The Best Show with Tom Sharpling, the best show originally, the best show on WFMU, which is a freeform radio station in Jersey City, New Jersey, which was basically down the street from where I lived for almost 10 years. And I didn't really even know it existed. I don't know how, but The Best Show is basically one guy. Sometimes every show is different. You don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes he has a guest. Sometimes it's just him doing talking stream of consciousness. He's done sound collages. He has people call in and they have a topic. And Tom is a comedian. He is a writer, a director. He's a funny, funny guy. He was a writer on Monk, and he is now writing What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show. And actually, the last many months, the show, he would call in and do the show from Canada. Well, not call in, but they had a mic set up and everything. And he was in Toronto doing the show. And John Worster, who is the drummer for Superchunk and many other bands, calls in, and that's his friend. And they do like fake kind of prank phone calls about this town called Newbridge. And basically all the characters that live in Newbridge and inhabit this world, and they're kind of zany hijinks. I can't even describe The Best Show. If you want to know what The Best Show is, the best thing to do is just listen to it. It is a throwback to the days of kind of 70s freeform radio. There is a vibe of just utter creativity. It's funny as hell. It's 3 hours a week. They've got a cast in studio too, you know, like AP Mike, the producers, Studio Dudio. Just a lot of fun people. And you don't need to know that. There are inside jokes, but sometimes Tom will start the show. He'll just start talking. And then one person, like this week, like a kid called and he just talked to a kid for like a half hour. And it's just hilarious. And it's very Jersey too. If you like kind of a more wry, bit sarcastic, but also maybe a little bit rude. Tom's shtick is kind of hanging up on people. He hangs up on everyone, including guests, like meaning like his friends and FPs or famous people that call up the show. Like he'll be like, talk to you later. And they're like, all right, bye. And I'll hang up on them. And for a while, it was a badge of honor to get hung up on by Tom. I've called into the best show, and Tom loved me, so I never called again. The call went like amazing, and he told me I had a great voice. He told me I was funny. I don't even remember what I said because I was so nervous. And we talked a little about Duke or something, and I said something, and then I hung up. He was like, that was a good call. And I never called back because that was perfect. That's all I needed. And he's just fantastic. And I'll tell you, the thing about The Best Show is if you decided I want to just keep on calling The Best Show, you could do it. There have been people who have been calling this show for like 10, 15 years. It's been on forever. So what? It started in 2000, right? And so it's 18 years. It's just amazing show. There's so much in the archive. There's also a show called Best Show Bests. That's just the phone calls with Sharpling and Worcester. They used to do something also called Rock Rotten Rule. So check out all of that. The Best Show is the best. I love them. All right, let me talk a little bit about a podcast that is actually a friend of the podcast, and I hope to have him on the show. And I was on his show recently. I was on Shonky Lab, and this is, though, the Black Dog Podcast. This is join Lee, Darren, Jim, and Elton as they waffle, wonder, and jabber on about film, geek news, video games, and any other tangential rubbish that springs to mind. Now, these are four English guys, and they just basically talk. They pick a movie. Last time they did Paddington. They did Trading Places before that, Suburban Commando, Pacific Rim. That was a very funny episode. And basically, they always spend way more of the episode talking about their own lives and what the fun stuff that's going on. And for me, as kind of an Anglophile, I love listening about English. It's just the differences that there are. I like when they say the bin instead of like the garbage can. It's a funny show. This is another of my list of like a couple dudes talking, and sometimes women too, right? Not on these shows though, but a couple people talking, and I do have a woman on this list though, a woman talking. It's a lot of fun. I like it a lot. It's similar to, it's not really the same as Tower of Babel because the conceit here is that they're going to talk about one movie. But it is in the sense that they end up talking about a lot of different other things and themselves. And it's just a good hang. You know, I like listening to Black Dog. I do the dishes, mow the lawn, do the laundry. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're listening to your boys. They're talking and they're all funny. And they all have different personalities that really shine. And it's always, I like when Elton starts talking. I'm like, yeah, there's my boy Elton, man. You go, Elton. And though he is most often the funniest dude because Elton's got a great sense of humor. It's a lot of fun. Give it a listen. The Black Dog Podcast, baby. All right, now I'm going to get into a little sports, and this one for me is really close to my heart, and I hope to get this podcast out to him so he gets to hear it, and that is the Locked On Jets podcast, And this is hosted by a guy named John Buchko, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Buchko. And or he goes by John B. And he's also, I believe, the editor and a head writer for Gangrene Nation, which is a New York Jets podcast. So Locked On Jets is a podcast about the New York Jets. You know what the Jets are. They are a National Football League team, and I have been a fan of them forever. And one of the thing about the Jets is that they are perennial not winners. I don't want to say losers. I don't want to say losers, but they are perennial not winners. And there is a certain attitude that goes along with being a Jets fan. And I just have to say that the moment I started listening to John, I was hooked. This dude is like, I grew up with him. I'm not quite sure how old he is. I think he's a little younger than me. I think he might be in his 20s or 30s. Maybe he is older. I'm not sure. But he is funny. He does the podcast all by himself. It's a daily podcast like this podcast. In many ways, he inspired me to do this podcast and made me realize that I could do it. So I want to thank him for that. He is emotional, intelligent, and the way he speaks about sports is the exact way that I enjoy, because he has a perspective about it. But it's a perspective that comes from his heart. So he realizes he's talking about a sports team every day. And if you're going to talk about sports every day, you can fall into the ESPN hot take, yelling, blah, getting upset, blah, about every, you know, you could do that every day. And John doesn't fall into this. He doesn't. He approaches each show with an intelligence and a kind of a respect, you know, and I think he respects what sport is and what it can mean to people and what it means to be a fan of a sports team. And even though we know in our hearts, it's kind of silly, it's just a sport, we do appreciate it and we love it and we get emotional. And he talks kind of openly about this, and he just seems like a really cool dude. And he knows a lot. I mean, I wish that this guy was calling games. I hope that this is just the start of his broadcasting career, because I think that he should be on national radio or whatever. I mean, I don't want him to leave the Jets, but it reminds me of a guy like Ian Eagle, who started just doing like Jet stuff. And now look at him. I mean, Ian Eagle to me is, after Al Michaels, I would say Tirico was great too. Probably my third favorite, maybe third best, or maybe he's my favorite play-by-play guy. And I think John could be a great color guy, or even a play. I don't know if he do play-by-play is a different animal, but he could probably do it. But every day he comes up with a new thing to talk about on the podcast. I mean, during the season, he talks about the game that happened and the game that's coming up. And just this week too, he got like really mad, but I love it when he gets really, because it's like, you can tell it's from the heart. And this Locked On podcast network is really cool. And this guy, I think his name is David Locke, has done a fantastic job of finding sports people, bloggers, reporters, TV personalities in a specific market and having them do a daily podcast. And it's a great idea, and I hope it takes off more. The audio quality is good. I remember early on I wrote John and I was like, hey man, you're so awesome. You got to tweak this or whatever. And he was open to it, and it sounds great. The podcast sounds great. And they do a crossover on Wednesdays where one, you know, like if the Jets are playing Andy's Minnesota Vikings, then the Locked On, I think there wasn't a guy available, but somebody else came and they talked about the Vikings. I think I might've mentioned that on the show. But it's great. And John in particular is a really great podcaster. And he should know that too, because I think sometimes people get into podcasting and they're just talking into a mic And then after a while, you begin to see that it is something more than that. You know, it's like anything. It's an art. It's a craft. And John is a fantastic podcaster. And I hope to have him on this show. I want him to be on the show, but this whole show is taking place during the Jets season. And I'm not going to ask him to be on the show when he's doing a daily podcast. So when the Jets season is over and the football season is over, maybe March or April, I'll have John on the show. I'm going to ask him to come on because he's super cool dude. And he does a bang up job every day talking about the Jets. And it's the kind of thing where I would say, even if you weren't a Jets fan, you should listen to it because he is a really, I want to use the word provocative, but just, he really makes you want to listen to him. You know, he has a great attitude and it's like you're listening to your friend that's really smart. And to me, those are the best kind of podcasters, even the big guys. Like next on my list, since I'm talking about sports. So shout out to you, John. Hopefully if you ever get to listen to this, you've done a great job every day bringing us stuff about the Jets and you're intelligent. You don't do the hot take stuff. You dive in and you have a great perspective as far as sports goes. But the next thing I'm going to get to is one I've talked about a lot on this show, and that's The Ringer and Bill Simmons Podcast Network. Been a great, great year for The Ringer. And in many ways, I think more people in Grantland, when Grantland came out and Simmons did Grantland, I feel like a lot of people knew about Grantland, the website. They were like, oh, Grantland's awesome, blah, 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 you know, and it kind of had a cool name, you know, what is Grantland, you know? Oh, it's Bill. Oh, he was on ESPN, but he does entertainment too. And then that was years ago when Heath Snowlow, the bastard podcaster, told me to listen to it. And now, you know, he got fired from ESPN, started his own thing, and then had a deal with HBO, and he has this thing called The Ringer. And I don't, does anybody read The Ringer? Do they write articles? I've never read an article on The Ringer. All I do is listen to the podcasts. I don't want to read this. Why am I going to read it? I can hear it. I don't know. I've never been big into a lot of the kind of sports stuff, or I don't know. I just haven't read a lot of stuff on The Ringer. But I listen to all the podcasts. I love them. They're a lot of fun. The Bill Simmons podcast is fantastic. He has great guests. And one of the things that's great about Bill is you feel like you're talking to a friend. You feel like a friend is there and he's just a dude and you're talking to him. And that's what he sounds like. And when he talks to other people, and I think that's what's so cool about podcasting. That to me is still my favorite podcast. Things you'll notice that are not on my list: NPR, any corporation, true crime, the storytelling. I don't do any of that stuff. I would do more storytelling, and Robert's A Well-Told Tale, I'm going to listen to that. But I don't like overproduced stuff when it comes to podcasting. That's just who I am. I like good sound quality. Okay. I try to get better sound quality every time I record a damn podcast. I'll probably be upset about something's wrong with the sound quality of this podcast when I listen to it later. But I don't need all the music and the doo-doo-doom, like all this stuff. It's just, I feel like I'm in an elevator. You know, I didn't like radio like that. I liked radio when people just got on and started talking, you know? And what I like about The Ringer is that they don't really overproduce, you know? I mean, come on, half the goddamn time you can hear Cousin Kyle or whatever tapping away on a keyboard while Bill is talking. They routinely forget to edit shit out of podcasts, like all the time. Bill will say, you know, like, especially on the NFL ones or something, he'll say, let me try that again. Okay, let me do it this way. And then they'll forget to edit it out. It's just, it's got this kind of slap together feel that's also professional that I kind of appreciate. I like the NFL show. I mean, they have so many podcasts, Against All Odds with Cousin Sal. I love that show. Heath and I were just talking about it. David Chang show. David Chang is a really interesting dude, and he has on a lot of Asian Americans to talk about that experience and also the culinary and film world. It's really great. The Watch with Chris and Andy, I talk about that all the time. They've got some other ones, Binge Mode, Villains. Even J.J. Redick has a podcast. The Big Picture, Sean Fennessy, that's great. Jam Session, Juliet is my favorite. Bachelor Party, House of Carbs. I listen to a lot of these. Some of the recapables I listen to. GM Street is the best football podcast there is with Tate and Mike Lombardi. Just a great, you know, Bill Simmons has done a lot for podcasting in general. He really has, and he really believes in it. And I like that. And I do too. So I feel like we're part of the same team in that respect. The only complaint I have about The Ringer is the NFL show. One of the thing, and also this Ryan Russillo guy, I just feel like this season in NFL, Bill Simmons does not like football. He likes basketball. He doesn't hate football, but he kind of does hate football. Let's be honest here. He hates the NFL, which a lot of us do. It's the worst organization. It's like, what's worse, the WWE or the NFL, as far as being run by like not great people? And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of problems that the NFL has, and Bill's an NBA guy, and I can't blame him for that. NBA players are more intelligent. They're more worldly. They travel. It just seems to be a much more progressive, open, creative environment, you know? So he kind of is like almost, I don't know, it's just like asleep at the wheel when it comes to the NFL stuff. And this Ryan Russillo, I have zero interest in listening to this guy. No offense to him as a human being, but he just comes off as one of these ESPN bros. And the Ringer show, the NFL show, it used to be Kevin Clark and another guy. And they were good because Kevin Clark was always a little bit too... Now it's Kevin Clark and who's the other? I can't remember. Anyway, Robert Mays. Okay, Robert Mays and Kevin Clark. And they're too bro-y. They're like two of the bro-iest guys at The Ringer working together on a podcast. You got to split them up. This week they had Danny Kelly come on with Kevin Clark, and it was a good pair because Danny is a chill guy and he is not arrogant. And unfortunately, Kevin Clark and Robert Mays are a bit arrogant guys. I mean, you know, whatever. They're young. They're kind of rambunctious. They're a bit bro-ish. When I look at pictures of them, they're kind of like, you know, they're very well coiffed. They put a lot of time into their hair products. They're a little bit, I don't know, they're like metrosexual bros, you know? And not that anything's wrong with that, but when you get them together, it's too much. It's too much of the same thing. Podcasts work well when you have a little bit of a difference, you know? Like, I think the reason why Solo and I work together is because we kind of offset each other constantly. Like, sometimes he'll be like real nice and I'll be like, fuck that, blah, blah. And then I'll be like that. Like I think Tim and I are developing that too, where, you know, you find an equal ground, but then, you know, like Tim is cracking jokes and I'm being serious and then he's being serious and I'm not paying attention. You know, you gotta have a little bit of even if they're bros, there's got to be a difference. They're not the same guy. And honestly, I cannot tell Robert Mays and Kevin Clark apart. They're like the same person. So you need to switch it up. Like putting Lombardi and Tate Frazier together was genius because Tate Frazier is like 23 years old or 20, however old he is. He sounds like he's 12, but he's like 28. In his intelligence, he sounds like he's 60. Like Tate Frazier has a great attitude. He's always learning. He's not always trying to say that he's smarter than everybody else, which is a lot of what Robert Mays and Kevin Clark spend time doing, talking about how they are smarter than the coach. I don't care about that. And first of all, there's no way you're smarter than him. You're like 27, bro. Okay, you've been watching the NFL for like 12 years. Lombardi worked with Bill Walsh. I will listen to him. Okay, he worked with Belichick. He can tell me whatever he wants to tell me. And Tate Frazier on the show with Lombardi, he always goes, right, Lombardi? Because he's like saying to him, you, and he always says, you know more than me, man. Like, I like that kind of respect. But then I like how Lombardi says, hey, Tate, that's a great, hey, that was a great read there, man. You know, like they forward each other in their development. And I don't feel like that's happening with the Robert Mays and Kevin Clark. And I don't think that that show is going to be around next year. I think they're going to switch that up because I hope so. I don't know. I'm a little passionate about this, as you can tell, because I really loved the Ringer football stuff because it was people not being like ESPN and bros all the time and yelling and all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of what it's become now. It's unfortunate. Like, you're spending all the podcast saying, they don't understand. The NFL has changed, man. It's like, dude, look, I'm 44 years old. I don't know shit about the NFL, and I've been watching it since I was, I was 10. Okay, so I've been watching the NFL for 34 years. And every year, everybody says it's different. That's how life is. Everybody says that about everything. It's never been like this before. You know? Times have changed. You got to catch up with it. That's what everybody always says. All right. My digression into the Ringer. All right. So the last podcast that I'm going to kind of go into here, or podcast network, I should say, because I got a couple more podcasts to talk about, is the Turn on the Jets podcast network. And I just want to give, I don't want to say too much. I've talked already a lot about the New York Jets, and this is a fan podcast. And if you're not a fan of the Jets, you're not going to be too into it. But I do appreciate this podcast, and I'll tell you why. This podcast network, because it's really a host of different podcasts, all the hosts, Joe Caparosa, who is the owner and CEO, as well as podcaster and writer for TurnOnTheJets.com, as well as the podcast, Joe Malfa, Greg Armstrong, Dalvin Osorio, who I hope to have on the show, Kyle Fahey, Ben Blessington, Jake Banaquista, I can't pronounce everything right, Tyson Rauch, Brian Bassett, who used to be, was one of the godfathers of Jets podcasting, Travis Milton, Josh Conrad, Scott Mason. Scott Mason does so many of the podcasts here. And what's cool about this is it is a real network, and they try to cover this team from every different angle. Scott Mason has on every week, he covers the team with the writer from NewJersey.com, which is really the Star, which I guess is it the Star Ledger? I don't remember anymore. It's kind of what I used to work for. And that is a fantastic podcast where, you know, you're hearing a beat reporter. Then they have podcasts where they go over the film. Then they have a podcast called Know Your Foe, which is fantastic, where they go over who they're playing this week. And that, and the pregame report with Daryl Slater, Scott Mason and Daryl Slater, was along with the Daily Jets podcast, Locked On Jets, my favorite Jets podcast, because Daryl Slater is fantastic. This guy is a great reporter and journalist. And he tells it like it is. And Scott is funny. And Scott is a great host. And the whole podcast network is awesome. And as a Jets fan, I love and I appreciate all the work they do. The only thing is, and I've been trying to reach out to him, maybe they'll listen to this and hire me, but they just got to turn up the audio quality, because the audio quality needs to be upgraded. And it could be easily. You know, a couple new mics, using maybe a couple of different recording methods. They could have very good sounding stuff. Not, you know, not perfect. Nothing's perfect, but a lot better than what it presently is for not that much money. And I think I hope that they upgrade, and I hope they're doing well. They seem to have advertisers and stuff. So, Turn on the Jets if you're a Jet fan. And I know we do have some Jet fans listening, because I always talk about the Jets. Check them out. And I hope to have Dalvin. I was going to have him on Podcast Winterfell. But I was just, that was, a, I don't remember what was happening. Oh, Westworld was happening. And I was like, man, I got to finish Westworld, dude. I'm like so in wet. And then by the time that was going, it was doing different stuff and he was on to something. And I think he had a kid too or something. So, that'll happen though. So hopefully everyone I've listed on here will come on the podcast, but Turn on the Jets, a great podcast. All right. So now along with all these, podcasts, throughout the year that I love, there are, of course, the more fan-based podcasts that cover things when they're happening, you know, and like Radio Westworld with our good buddies. Love Radio Westworld. That is a fantastic show. Okay, we love it. Matt's audio blog, Game of Thrones style. Got to shout out Matt. He's been killing it. He's been absolutely killing it. And I've been love listening to him go back and listen and talk about old episodes, because he also talks about kind of things we might have said or what happened on Podcast Winterfell. It's kind of a walk down memory lane in more ways than one. I already shouted out Shonky Lab. Check out Elton's new show, The Flix Capacitor, which is all about time travel movies. Of course, The History of Byzantine, which is our old friend Robin. That's fantastic podcast. There's a lot of good stuff out there. I'm always listening to the Urban Dharma, get a little bit of my Zen vibe, the new TV's Top 5 with Dan Feinberg. So a lot of great podcasts out there. Of course, all the I missed a bunch of Westworld and Game of Thrones podcasts that I listen to because I always love them. Shout out to the Shat on TV guys. They're going to be covering True Detective, which I'm also going to be covering on this show. So maybe we'll have a little crossover with them. I'd love to do that. But anyway, hey, look, this was a lot of fun. I got a chance to talk about some podcasts I like. I hope you enjoyed it. I know they might not all be shows that you listen to, but give them a shot. And it was a fun thing for me to do. It was my own personal list. Like I'm saying, I don't think that these are the best, but I like listening to these shows. And hey, something I noticed when I was going through this list is I don't have a lot of ladies listed. I mean, there are ladies on the shows, you know, that I listen to. They're not all men. And some of the shows I listen to are just women. But do you have any shows where it's a bunch of ladies together talking? I do occasionally listen to The Broadcast from Jay and Jack with Colleen. I don't listen to it every week, but I do tune in now and then. Anybody have any shows with women that I could be listening more to? Because I was realizing as I'm making the list, I'm like, these are all dudes talking to each other, you know? So maybe I just haven't been exposed or I haven't given it a shot. But there are a bunch that I listen to that are like just Westworld or just Game of Thrones that are all women. But these, I guess I was concentrating more towards not covering just one TV show podcast. I don't know why, just what I did today. So if you have any women podcasts that you want me to listen to, women run or that feature women, shout it out to me because I'm always open, or any of that. If you say on my list, hey, Axel, you got to diversify a little bit. And the list is slanted definitely towards the time of the year because I subscribe and unsubscribe from podcasts kind of depending on what time of year it is. So it, that may be a result of that as well. So I know there's a couple I missed that as I was thinking in my head, I was like, you know what? I got a lot of time. I'll cover them another time. But that was a lot of fun, everybody. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your kind of holiday week. I'll be back on Friday. I'll be back tomorrow with a Patreon show. And that's about it. So have a great day. Peace out.